Good morning and welcome to Monday Morning. Evan Bray, great to have you here. I hope you had a good weekend. Gosh, the weather was sure nice over the weekend. This morning, parts of Saskatchewan seeing continued sunshine and warmth. Other parts of the province getting a little bit of moisture. I just got a text from Dave and says, Evan, you mentioned you checked the radar system. How far south did you go? If you look at the far southwest part of the radar system, you see that it has some snow happening in Montana. Let's hope it. He says, let's hope it peters out that part of the storm before it makes its way to Saskatchewan. But rain is what we're seeing today. Yeah, none of the S word is in the forecast for Saskatchewan, but it does look as if you go down to Helena, Great Falls, Butte, Montana, there is, don't forget there's some high regions there, some mountainous regions there. That's tends to be where they're getting that snowfall, at least this morning. But the moisture, welcome, especially in that southwest part of the province that has been notoriously dry over the last little while. Well, after months of trade war back and forth, the impact of tariffs is, I think, now starting to settle in. Dining room tables are being affected by it. Experts in the industry say the Canadian food and grocery industry is now starting to feel the effects of this, because when it was first announced, the tariffs and then the counter tariffs, you knew it wasn't necessarily going to be instant that you noticed. It takes a while for product to work its way through as grocery stores have to replenish their shelves. It's often that newer product that can be affected by it. So, and don't forget, as part of Canada's response to the U.S. tariffs, federal government imposed 25% tariffs on $30 billion worth of U.S. goods. Things like orange juice and berries and nuts and ketchup, and there's a variety of different things. My next guest is someone who is very capable of helping us break this down, just to help us understand what we're seeing at the grocery stores when it comes to this ongoing tariff war. Gary Sands is the Senior Vice President with the Canadian Federation of Independent Grocers. He's actually been doing this work for over two decades, so that helps us with someone who's got some longevity in the industry. And Gary, I'm not trying to make you feel old, but I'm just trying to provide the context that you've got some experience when it comes to this topic.
Yeah, listen, I've got three kids, and they do a great job of making me feel old without you having to weigh in, Evan. But yeah, how you summarize the issue is exactly bang on. We are already starting to see the impact, and my only advice to your listeners is buckle up, because there's a long list of products that are going, already are subjected to tariffs. But as you correctly pointed out, as inventory begins to turn over, you're going to start seeing more of that. Now, some of the things that people have already started to see in the fruit and vegetable and the produce section that have been subjected to tariffs, you might see a lot of that offset during the growing months in Canada, when we're not as susceptible, right, I guess, for lack of a better word, to imports. But, you know, as I said, the list is long. You know, coffee, you name some of them, orange juice, peanut butter, spirits, appliances, footwear, pasta, tobacco, a lot of beauty products, shampoo, deodorants, even rubber that is used in tires, some clothes, glassware. You know, the list, it's quite a long list. So you're going to start to see, if you haven't already, a lot of price increases on the shelves. And there's just nothing a grocer can do but to pass those on, unfortunately.
Well, that's what I was actually wanting to go to next, Gary. Gary Sands is my guest, the Canadian Federation of Independent Grocers. Help us understand how tariffs intersect with the grocery business. Is this a fact that store owners, and knowing you represent independent grocers, are they dealing with agencies that are kind of the middlemen in this, or are they directly dealing with and having these tariffs applied to the produce and to the items that they're buying?
It depends really on the size of the grocer. We have about 6,900 independent grocers in Canada. Some of them are big enough that they're going to be dealing with some of their suppliers directly on. Most independents are going to be dealing with, I guess, what you would call a middleman, but it's either a wholesaler or a distributor. And regardless of whether they're buying direct or they're getting it from that middleman, that tariff, which is really just a fancy word for a tax, they're going to have to pay it. Now, and I want to emphasize, I'm not trying to blow any smoke here, because of who I work for. But the reality is, you're an independent grocer in Canada, and this is backed up by StatsCan. You're on an overall margin of about 2%. That is much lower than in other sectors. So if you're getting a good, you're buying a product from your middleman, and there's been a 25% tariff tacked on to that. Mm. If your margin's 2%, you have to pass that on. If you don't, you won't be an independent grocer. You'll be an out-of-business grocer. That's just the reality. And I wish there was, a way of saying, oh, there's some creative means we can do to avoid this, but there isn't.
It probably stands to reason, but I, without intimate knowledge of the grocery business, how do independent grocers find themselves disproportionately affected by something like a tariff or trade war?
There'd be a couple of ways. Well, first of all, you simply don't have the leverage that a large retail chain would have to negotiate with your suppliers. And the suppliers are who we in the industry would call the food manufacturers. So the companies that, all your listeners would recognize, whether it's Kraft Heinz, General Mills, Maple Leaf Foods, and I'm not singling anybody out. I'm just trying to think of some recognizable examples. They just don't have the leverage to negotiate. So, I often get a little chuckle when I'll read in the media or I hear on the news that, the food manufacturers, when they're talking about price increases, will say, we allow 8 to 12 weeks before they go into effect, and, the big chains negotiate with us, and et cetera, et cetera. There is no good negotiation for the most part for the independents. They're told what the price is and when it's going up, and that's it. And if you're an independent grocer and you want to try to negotiate a price increase with, say, a big Kraft Heinz or Pepsi Frito-Lay or whoever the company is, all I can say is, I'll drive you to their head office, but I'll keep the car running in the parking lot while you run in to have that negotiation, because it's not going to be a long meeting. So that's the first thing, is just that they just don't have the leverage. The second issue that's important to keep in mind in this country is that we have a lot of rural and remote communities in the country, and particularly in Saskatchewan. And a lot of the 6,900 independents that I was mentioning, a lot of them are in those rural and remote communities. The challenge of getting product to those stores is already more difficult than it would be in places like Regina, Saskatoon, Toronto, Ottawa, Montreal, Vancouver. And the costs of such are higher. So the independents in those communities are already struggling to keep costs in check in those areas. So this is going to put even more of a burden on them, because they're in communities where the retail chains just have no interest in being there. The market's not big enough, but the independents there. And if the independents not there, you're going to have a food security issue, mm-hmm. because everybody's got to eat. So that's, I think, the second sort of impact we're going to see from tariffs is the first, as I said, the independents not being able to negotiate the same way, have the same leverage. And the second is, the reality is, they're in a lot of communities where the costs and challenges of getting goods is already higher. So this is going to be a real tough few months ahead.
Gary Sands is my guest, Senior Vice President with the Canadian Federation of Independent Grocers. Gary, I love how you laid that out very succinctly, help us understand some of these challenges. As you were talking, I wondered, is there a bright spot for independent grocers when it comes to this Buy Canadian push, when it comes to Canadian prepared products? Are independent grocers set up in a way that that can actually provide some benefit to them, that that notion that seems to be sweeping Canada right now?
I'm going to sound political here and say I hope so. First of all, the huge upsurge that we've seen in the demand for Canadian product, and I use the word demand deliberately because we're Canadians. We don't usually demand things, but the members I've spoken to from across the country, including in Saskatchewan, have said that's what customers are now demanding. They're not asking. They're demanding to see more Canadian products. Now, for an independent, that's great. That's right up their alley. You know, being able to buy local and source local product is something the independents have already, you know, been greatly involved with because sure. It helps them to differentiate themselves from the chains. And also, listen, it's obviously well received by the community. However, the challenge we have is this supply chain that we have in North America is very much a north-south supply chain. There's no doubt, Evan, that we now need to recalibrate that supply chain and we need to move to an east-west supply chain. So while there's that demand there for Canadian products, and while, you know, I'll speak for the independents, there's a huge appetite for getting those Canadian products into their stores, we do need to make some investments in our infrastructure. Our distribution and transportation networks need to be strengthened so that we can develop that east-west supply chain, because right now it's a tough one. And I don't want to go on a rant here, but I can tell you in the past when we've had, let's say, disasters, like it could be flooding in BC or wildfires, etc., there's just simply not enough infrastructure, transportation, trucking available to get the goods to communities when things happen. We have to change that, and we have to make investments. So while we're all cheerleaders for getting more Canadian goods in our stores and in our homes, I do have to say that both governments, and I use the word governments plural, provincial and federal, are going to have to make some investments. It's a challenge, but it's also a great opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Gary Sands is my guest, the Canadian Federation of Independent Grocers. Before I let you go, we're almost out of time, but you have done lots of work, you and your organization, when it comes to trying to help with rising grocery prices. We've heard, this is long before the trade war, the tariff talks, about the small margin on grocery prices. I know you were part of the Grocery Code of Conduct. Have we made progress, Gary, in that regard?
We have. I'm pleased to say I was part of the steering committee selected by governments, and it was all the governments in Canada select the steering committee that developed the code. We now have a code. The code will go into effect on June 1st. I am confident that the code, I'll be as quick as I can. It was about just cleaning up some of the, I'll say, distorted market practices in the industry and some of the things that we needed to correct. But we are confident that this is going to have such a positive impact on the industry mm-hmm. that it will have a significant positive effect also on costs and prices. And maybe before I go, I'll let something slip that maybe I shouldn't, but tomorrow there'll be a study released, and it's under media embargo, so I better be careful what I say. But it's an in-depth study done by the Dalhousie University, Sylvain Charlebois, and it will break out what consumers are concerned about across the country. And you'll see that in Saskatchewan, the concern around food affordability is way up there. It's the number one issue of Saskatchewan consumers that concerns them. So I think the grocery code will be something where the people of Saskatchewan will start to see a positive impact. It's not going to be, a magic wand solution and make prices, miraculously plummet, to what they were 10 years ago. But it's going to have a positive impact on the industry, and we believe it'll have a positive impact on prices. And in other countries that have had a grocery code, that's what we saw.
Good stuff. Gary, this has been a great chat. I appreciate you giving us some time today. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Gary Sands, Senior Vice President with the Canadian Federation of Independent Grocers, CFIG, and that's their website, by the way, CFIG.ca, if you want to learn more about who they are and what they do. And yeah, we look forward to the report he referred to. Might have to get Sylvain on. Sylvain's on the show numerous times, but the whole notion of food affordability and it being such a prominent issue for us here in the province of Saskatchewan. Thanks again to Gary Sands. You're listening to 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.